Welcome back to Misunderstood. I mean, the last episode we went deep. We were talking about the school system. I appreciate my guy Gad. As you can see, it's kind of rotating guests and so on and so forth as we like it. I told you, different voices. It's going to be a bit different. Today I'm here with MD. How you doing?
Man, not really much complaints. Just living life, and I'm glad to be back on.
Nah, definitely. He's been here a couple of times. I think either you or no, Leto might be the most recurring guest. I think he's at four and you're Leto's, three.
No, this is my second, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've done three recordings though.
Three.
This is my third.
Yeah. This will be your third recording. I have to apologize for the time thing. I know network wasn't great. Yeah.
I get it, dude. I'm a South African as well, man.
Yeah, that African time kicked in. But today we're having a genuine conversation. We are speaking about why we celebrate the celebrities, but we don't celebrate the academics. The context this came up in was I was watching a video, well, actually I was watching a vodcast of Sizwe Mpofu Walsh speaking about his accomplishments. And during the video, firstly, it was the first time I ever recognized that Sizwe graduated from Oxford. And he's Dr. Sizwe Mpofu Walsh, something in which we don't exclamate, something in which we don't acknowledge to the same extent. But in it, he says, we don't celebrate academics in the country the same way we celebrate our celebrities. And today we're unpacking that, but we're also just unpacking society's view on who we are, why we celebrate the things we do, and why we pay so much attention to people who sometimes add little to no value to society.
Well, I think it comes down to looking at what value is, because the example that I really love using and that I really like, that I like to look at when we talk about the value that people bring is, let's look at an architect versus an engineer. You know, they work hand in hand. You know, if you had an engineer build everything, yeah, you'd have the practical sense of what's supposed to be going on and how things function, but the buildings around you, the design of things, they would lose its life. And that's where architects come in with all their, you know, flashy and grand ideas. And that's how we sort of get this meshing and intertwining of art and practical dynamics within, you know, a practice that's extremely scientific but also requires a lot of like, outside of the rigorous practice itself, it also requires a lot of creativity and out-of-the-box thinking to make both those things work together to create something, you know, that works, something that's functional, something that's also beautiful in the same regard. So when we talk about celebrities and their utility in society, I get what you mean, man. Like, a lot of brothers, there's girls our age that are making millions just from, you know, like, going on TikTok or starting an OF page and boom, now that's it. Like, yeah, you're rolling in dough. And I get that. That strips the value of not only the person doing it, but also anyone else viewing it. They don't really gain much. But when I look at a musician, when I look at an artist, when I look at someone that I look up to, the value that they bring me is far beyond what an academic space could give me, because it broadens my perspective. It gives me inspiration. And I think the reason people celebrate celebrities more than academics is because celebrities remind people of everything that they could be. And academics remind people of everything that's been taken away from them, or the box that they've been put in. I think that's the best way to look at it. I mean, at least from my perspective. So academics aren't really, like, you know, the forefront in people's minds, because it's just a thing of monotony, day in, day out, you know, waiting till the weekend. But the celebrities live the life that we want to live. I think that's why we celebrate them.
I mean, I think just because that's the initial thought, I agree to an extent, and I feel like there's part of me that's also fighting it and saying I disagree. And like, I don't even think it's an agreement or a disagreement. I think it's just a feeling. And when you speak about value and you speak about who people are and what they bring to us, I think there's truth in what you're saying, in that celebrities embody a lot of what people want to be and can be, and often very much of the time just share almost similar story to who we are. They come from a space where they weren't necessarily great academics, or they were just working hard and they just so happened to have made it. Now, this is not in all cases. I think there's obviously the lucky ones who kind of get through and it just happens overnight. But when we're talking about celebrities as they are, the question is that something that people should be envisioning as their first go-to? Because where I remember when I was a child and they used to say, what do you want to be? I was like, oh, I want to be a rugby player and I want to go play for the Springboks, because I guess to an extent I was boxed in by the school environment and what that was. Whereas if you look at kids now, I think they tried to become celebrities, one, a lot earlier. They tried to have influence and fame. But secondly, they tried to set their life up to be those celebrities at a younger age and start doing things and start working at it from young. So is that something that we believe that people should be envisioning, or do we still think that like the academic route's still the way?
Well, I think people shouldn't idolize. There's a saying, don't meet your idols, man. Like, I don't think people should idolize, you know, all these celebrities and everything, because anyone, you can look at, you know, you can go down the rabbit hole of all these child stars from Disney and Nickelodeon and the kind of things that they've been through, you know, like the whole Dan Schneider debacle, and there's just a lot of stuff, you know, like the grooming of pop stars from a young age. I mean, Disney's been churning out like platinum selling artists like for a decade now. Like, it's crazy when you look at the stats. But it's also a thing of, if you do want to be that person, understand the risks. And from an academic perspective, it's really more, it's not that the academic route is depressing or boring or whatever. It's really just what it represents and how academics have been structured. Because people, when you go into the academic space, you're not necessarily there for the benefit of your own well-being, if that makes sense. Like, you're not going in there with the knowledge or the expertise, or seeking the knowledge and expertise to fulfill yourself in this world. And, you know, it's more a thing of, we're using a system that was brought in during the Great Depression. You know, we're getting all the rudimentary subjects like science and biology. That's the stuff that builds an economy, and I understand that. But at the same time, we kind of need to embrace the fact that people are creative. People are far more than what we can really put into 8 subjects in a curriculum. You know, and, you know, my sister was telling me the other day, like, at her school, you know, they do like something like 20 subjects throughout a year. So like they have like 6 core subjects and then they rotate through different subjects. And I really like that idea because it helps broaden the perspective, and you get to add on to your physics or your biology or your geography, your history, English, and all these other things with extra skills and extra knowledge. Whether you use it or not, it's there. That's what's important, you know, so that later on in life, you look back and you're like, oh, there was this thing, you know. And I think that's important, the access to information. Because people always say that education is the key, or holds the key to many doors, you know, etc. But at the same time, you know, you got to know what kind of door or what kind of space you're walking into before you even grab that key. Otherwise, you just end up in a space that's uncomfortable, that's restrictive. It's a place that you don't want to be in. No one wants to do that. And too many people sadly have done that, you know. Me now, especially watching some of my, or most of my peers, go in and just flock into universities, you know, in South Africa and some overseas, that, you know, me and, for instance, Leto. It's, I always wonder and I have concern. I just hope that my friends, especially because they're people I care about, I just hope that they've done something that they are passionate about, that they will love, because we've grown up, we don't have to worry about getting a job that makes a lot of money. We don't need that. That was our parents' job because the society they lived in encouraged that. They need that. Like, that was their way out. We don't need to have a way out. We're already out. You know what I'm saying? I think people just need to enlighten their perspectives and understand that there's no rush, that you don't have to be something right now. You know, you've already gone through the whole process of growing and you're still growing. You're not even done physically growing. There's so much to discover and learn about yourself. Don't rush out. Don't rush to go out into things and, because your parents said so, because ABC, like, take your time if you need to. And I understand that there's different pressures, but, you know, at least from the academic side, I think that's where people sort of get lost in the whole routine of things. It's just a thing of always being reminded of, things that you have to do, and that there's things that you want to do but you can't because the academics are there and that takes priority in our lives, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think it's true to the extent that there's a lot of people who mistake their education for gaining knowledge. There's a lot of people who essentially are knowledgeable and hunger and thirst for knowledge and think they're going to find that in school, and that's not always the case.
No.
And I think my question to you then becomes that you said that you have to have access to the right information before you make a decision, and my question then becomes, when people idolize celebrities, try to be celebrities, attempt to be superstars, do you think they have a full view to what that information is and what is necessary?
Ask anyone that wants to be a musician or a rapper now, like the contracts that they draw up for you, like everything, just understand, so long as there's money, you're the one that's, you're not gonna benefit immediately, at least.
Yeah.
Like, whether you want to be the next Aiden Ross or Kai Cenat, like, you know, there's always a catch 22. You know, Twitch made over 15 million from Kai Cenat's Black History Month streamathon, like he did every day. I think Kai only made like 3.5 mil, even though he was the one bringing all the attention and the views, and Twitch was just the platform.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, the celebrity life, the status of things, you're always gonna get harassed by people. You don't even know, that's gonna take a toll on your psyche. I mean, you need to understand just on a social level what you're getting into, the implications on your own well-being, and you know, the money side of things, it's not always what it seems, man. You know, some of your favorite rappers are broke, like they're broke because they don't know how to handle money.
Yeah.
You're not being taught how to handle money, you know. I don't necessarily blame people. You know, you see a lot of money, you're like, whoa, I can get everything that I've always wanted now, and you get overexcited. But you need to know that there's practices, there's business practices that go into these things. There's a lot that you don't know when you look at a 50-page contract and you're like, okay, sign at the bottom, and now you're with Universal Music Group. You're not Drake, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Drake can say, I'm not dropping an album, and Universal is gonna start like sweating, like, whoa, you know, that's the check that keeps the lights on. You don't, you know, you are just another cash cow. Like, the whole thing of giving so much attention to a lot of celebrities, I get it, there are people that are inspiring. I mean, tell me, even if you love Ronaldo, tell me you were not inspired like seeing Messi win the World Cup. Tell me.
Yeah, facts. Not facts. Facts. You know what I'm saying?
Tell me you're not inspired by Mbappe putting up like the biggest fight I've ever seen in my life. Like, tell me you're not inspired by seeing someone rise from the absolute gutters, you know, like coming from damn near abject poverty and suffering and becoming something that you can look at and be like, you know what? I want to raise my child to be like this person. I want my child to look at me the way I look at this person. You know what I'm saying? I get that that's a good thing to have, but I think that there's a lot that we sort of eschew from our own vision because we want to look at the glitz and the glamour of things, if that makes sense. But look, it's never always going to be sunshine and rainbows. Before rainbows, there's always rain.
Yeah. I think that, like, that exists with how we live, but there's still a lot of people who try and obviously like actualize it within their own lives, because I think, like you said, we've gotten out, so we don't have the same struggle, we don't have the same pressure, which means essentially we have more choice. Now the question is, how do we utilize that choice? Because, like, we've all seen the Twizzy movement. I think they're moving like gangs, I can't lie, and part of that is literally the celebrity idolization that is now, I don't know if I want to say like causing it, because I don't think celebrities are at fault here, but there is a point that we have to say to kids especially that there is alternative routes than just fame, influence, because at the end of the day, I think most people are going to say they're chasing the money. And regardless of what you do and where you do it, you're going to find money if you do a decent to relatively well degree, whether you're famous or not. It's now becoming about influence, fame, being of importance, feeling like you control the world at an early age. And like, is that something that we should be idolizing, or is that something we should be pushing away from?
It's tough to say, but I mean, if we're gonna talk about like the Twizzies and everything, like, oh man, even just thinking about them gives me a headache. It's like this thing of, I don't like, as much as like, you know, hip hop and rap music, that's my baby. And Leto put me onto this perspective. We're in a hostel in Amsterdam, trying pizza, and I asked him, you know, why did you deviate away from listening to rap music? And he really changed my perspective on things. You know, it's more about how, you know, rap music, it doesn't matter that it's commercial. What matters is the kind of things that's being put out. You know,
yeah.
Every project that comes out, no matter how talented the rapper, it feels lazy. You know what I'm saying? It just feels like you're rehashing the same thing over and over again, just so your viewers. I mean, it's also disrespectful to your listeners. You're treating them like sheep, but also the listeners themselves are sheep. They're just gonna hop onto the project and listen, just because it's there and people are saying listen. You know what I'm saying? There's no art or tact in it anymore. You know, there's no love that's being put into it anymore. So, you know, with me having been in Germany and making music there, after hearing him say that, I decided that my mission within, you know, the musical space, I don't care if I'm famous or whatever, whenever someone listens to my music, they should know that, one, love was put into this. Two, I'm not lying with a single lyric that I'm spitting. And three, more than anything, my goal is to try and change the way that hip hop and rap is seen. I want your parents to be able to listen to me and be like, this kid's nice, you know what I'm saying? So when I hear, like, when I see the Twizzies and everything and they're just like blasting Yeats, and like, but don't get me wrong, Yeats has some hits, but I mean, at the same time, like, it's just a thing of, what are you trying to be? What are you trying to imitate? What, you know, why aren't you, why can everyone call you as a group this homogenous thing, Lil Twizzy? Why can people look at you and say that you're that? You know, why is there no individuality amongst, you know, even if you look similar or dress similar, why isn't there any originality? You know, why are you following a blueprint of things that's been set out, you know, like people, like Black Americans do in America, the whole thing of, you know, you're from Chirac or you're from New York, so you have to make drill, or you have to drill and kill people. Like, you, just because you've been brought up in that environment doesn't mean you have to be a product of that environment, you know what I'm saying? But the music that people listen to, the lifestyle that's sold to them, you have to remember, this stuff is commercialized. I can't go on, you know, I can't go on Hot 92.7, I think that's what it is. I can't go on there and then, you know, do what Kanye did and talk about Jews the way he did. But if I'm a Black person, I can go and say, yo, Kumo, I don't like you, I'm gonna kill you, ABC. I can threaten you all I want, and people will commercialize that for me. A record label can do that for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think it's just a thing of being careful of what you absorb, because what you absorb, you know, you're a product of your friends, you're a product of what you absorb on the daily. You know, your life is a set of meditations. You know, your practices become who you are.
Yeah.
So just be aware, you know, if you wake up every day and do 10 push-ups, go outside for a bit, drink coffee, read a book, and then go and listen to the rap music and fool around, whatever, you know, you're still going to be a product of the 10 push-ups that you do. You're still going to have the knowledge from the book you read. You're still going to get the peace of mind from, you know, just walking around in your garden and seeing the sun. You get what I'm saying? So I think, you know, you can absorb the media, but, you know, temper it well. You know what I'm saying? Don't just aim for that lifestyle. Aim to be a better version of yourself. Do what's good for you.
I think in the 21st century as it exists now, where knowledge seems less of important, and like you said, I think the simple idea there is read a book, right? There's not a lot of people who want to do that, feel the incentive to do that, or care to do that. Partially being because either one, people don't want to sit down and learn, because everyone assumes their favorite celebrity influencer doesn't learn, doesn't read, doesn't engage in technical viable literature, which, one, I think is extremely untrue. I think if you actually look at the brilliance of influencers, when you remove their influence, their popularity, a lot of them are extremely intelligent individuals.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's why some of your favorite celebrities are writing books.
Yeah. and they try and throw you off with the image that they present, what the media give to them. They control them. They control their own narrative.
Yeah.
But secondly, like I said, there's no value in knowledge anymore, or people don't see the value to the same extent. So as individuals who are idolizing celebrities and idolizing who they are, should we be taking deeper dives into actually who they are and not who they present?
Okay, so I'm going to start off with what you said about reading and knowledge and how that can intertwine with the presentation of, you know, a media influencer or multimedia personality. So my experience, dude, reading changed my life, man. One of the first like good books I picked up was around 2020, just before COVID and everything. Actually, no, it was from New Year's Day. Started reading at Exclusive Books near my Bozi, and I think it was A Field Guide to Lies and Statistics, and The 48 Laws of Power. Those books sort of got me started on this journey. And when I saw and realized that a book is a compilation of someone's life experience,
yeah,
tempered and tapered by their rigorous study with whatever field they're in, whatever experience they have, a whole entire encyclopedia of knowledge on one subject that the book is titled on, whatever it might be. You get all that knowledge, and then you look at the shelf and there's a whole section of things around this topic, like psychology, for instance.
Yeah.
And there's hundreds of authors all writing about the study of human behavior. That's remarkable. People are writing about marketing and sales. People are writing about, you know, fiction with philosophy intertwined into it. You know, 1986, that kind of thing. Like it's remarkable. It's crazy to see that there's so much knowledge that people aren't using. Like, you can go and read a book for free. You don't have to buy it.
Yeah.
You buy it unless, you know, the only time you buy it is when you walk out. But you can go there and sit for just 2 hours a day, read one chapter, just one chapter every day. And like, there's so much that you'll learn. There's so much that you want to change about yourself. There's so much, you know, I try to read books that are, you know, that have some knowledge I can apply. I want to read, you know, not to, you know, like, squat on anyone, but I mean, I don't read fiction because there's nothing much that I can really apply. But you know, reading a good psychology book, reading Shoe Dog, Phil Knight's story,
that's,
you know,
book I'm reading now.
Oh yeah. I also saw on your wall Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Yeah,
dope book. You know, also Atomic Habits, that's an amazing book as well. There's so many good books that I think young people like us especially need, you know, that can help us unleash our full potential. And if you are going to go into that celebrity space, you must understand a lot of the new influencers, a lot of the like smart ones, are also like advertising and campaigning for like books that they have read. Like, you know, you'll see a lot of people on, I mean, depending on what your feed looks like on Instagram, I mean mine, you'll sort of see every now and then people talking about studies and books that they recommend, like a Jordan Peterson book or David Goggins or something. And you sort of realize that this person, as much as they might not be like a big influencer, you know, that they're what's considered a micro influencer, at the same time they're giving you the knowledge that's gotten them to their position. Because as much as they might not be at such a high level of influence, their finances, the lifestyle that they live, the happiness that they have, the fulfillment that they have, the peace that they have, the businesses that they run, the kind of knowledge that they have at a relatively young age, especially compared to our own rents, the kind of part that they've taken of financial independence and freedom, the ability to not have to worry about money all the time, you know, where money isn't the deciding factor on whether or not you do something. You know, it should be a thing of, well, Kumo's in Cape Town, let me call him, see where he's at, see where I can go, okay, let me make these arrangements, not have to look at my bank account, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. That's the most important thing that I think a lot of people need to learn. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire. You just have to have enough money to sustain the life you want to live. Which doesn't mean that just because you want a yacht and everything, doesn't mean you have to get a yacht, you know. It's just the thing of knowing what's good for you and being able to sustain those things long term. So when you look at your favorite influencers, you know, maybe take a look at not necessarily what makes them big or what makes them famous, but look at where you think they're going to go in 10 years time, and taper, or, you know, your algorithm is designed based on what you input.
Yeah.
So try and input different influencers that you can see have a plan with their finances, have a plan with their lifestyle. You know, if you want to be a bodybuilder, look at more bodybuilders who aren't embroiled in controversy and everything. Look at the ones that are sustaining a life where they're honest about their usage of PEDs or whatever. You know, look at people who you would admire. Yeah. Look at people who you would have your child hanging around with, or that you would hang around with because you deeply admire them in that respect. You get what I'm saying? Have those kind of influences on your feed. Look at what they're doing. You know, more than anything, you can celebrate the whole celebrity life and everything, but if you're not aware of what you're inputting, if you're not aware of how the algorithm itself, you know, the saying is, if a product is free, then you are actually what the product is. I think it's something like that. You are the product. You know, Instagram, all these things are free. You're the one that's being sold and marketed. It's your information.
Yeah.
So, you know, always have a keen eye on that and be careful. You know, there's a lot that can influence you, whether or not you're aware of it or not. You always have to take these things with a grain of salt, whether it's, I don't know, leftist liberal media or Andrew Tate. Like, you know, keep a balance of things, but search for knowledge more than anything. I think that's the core of what I'm getting to.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone's probably heard the cliche of like, there's only two things that cause you users: drugs and social media. And I think sometimes people forget just how much you can give away and how much you influence in your own life. But I want to ask something, because you mentioned that you said your parents are like, I think for the majority of people, your parents are the driving force of your academics. How much of people's, I don't want to say admiration for celebrities, but probably inspiration from celebrities influences the life that they want to live? Because like you said, you can live a sustainable life if you're not necessarily the biggest, the best on any specific platform. But the reality is that the majority of people who get engaged at a very young age aren't trying to just be another statistic or just another mid-tier YouTuber or whatever social media platform. They try and live the life that they saw and potentially even improve on that. So are they creators of their own life, or are they creators of what their influences had shown them in 5 minutes or so?
They're the product. At the end of the day, they will choose what they want for themselves. But when you're at a young age, obviously you're going to idolize the biggest and the best, because they're the biggest and the best.
Yeah.
You want to be the biggest and the best. You know what I'm saying? Young boys, you look at the kind of movies that at least we grew up watching. It's like, you know, Optimus Prime, Transformers, yeah, and stuff. Like, you're watching this guy doing absolute work on some Decepticons, and you're like, man, I want to be him. You know what I'm saying? You look at Goku, you're looking at all these fictional characters that are the top of their range, that have worked hard to get there. I think that's the other thing that people look at, is they look at the struggle behind people's stories. You're not gonna, yeah, you don't admire someone who just happened on the money. You know, yeah, what I'm saying? That's like, it's not like a thing of, oh, this guy just got rich, he's my idol now. You're looking at someone who you know had to work and grind to get there. And I think that's what gravitates people towards these things, is that they know that with enough work, with enough patience, with enough effort, faith, belief, they can be that as well. And they won't stop until they are at that level. And I don't think they realize everything that comes with. But I think the other thing is, when you aim to be the best, there's two ways you can look at it. It's either because of what you said earlier, where, you know, you don't just want to be another statistic, or you believe that you have it in you to be the best, and that you owe it to yourself and you owe it to the world to be the best. Those are two different paradigms that you have to look at. And if you are the latter, go for it. But if you are not the latter, you must understand, and wisdom over time, life will teach you. Relax. Sometimes you're not supposed to be the best. Maybe that's not your job in this world, but yeah, you're still going to touch someone's life in an impactful manner. That's what you should aim to do more than anything. No matter what you're doing, it's all about people and how they receive and process the information you give them. Always focus on people, no matter what your mission is. Make sure you impact people. Even if it's one person, all it takes is one person to change millions of lives. You know what I'm saying? To inspire millions of people. And if it was the words you said to them once, that's all the more impact. That's all the more pride you should have in being meticulous and being grateful for the chance to do what you are doing, if it's something that you love, even if you're not considered the best, even if you're not considered the greatest or the biggest. Do everything you do with love and with care. And my father, my parents always tell me, when you do something, people should know you did it. Leave your signature on it. You know, by virtue of you having done the work, it should be evident that, oh, it's MD did this. It's obvious. It's done well. It's done with attention, care, effort. It's done with love. It's like, you know, it's undisputed. And always, I think more than anything, patience is the biggest thing, because people want to be the biggest and the best now, because they see people their age, your Charlie and your Dixie D'Amelio's, they're our age, bro, right? In this guap. How you think I feel sometimes, bro? How you think I feel? I'm scrolling on my phone, I'm like, rah, bro, all this hun did was dance, knees up, like, that's all the camera was pointing at, and now she's blown like this, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, what's the value that she's bringing? Does she put her care and effort and her soul into what she's doing? It doesn't seem like that's something that someone would do with all their love and attention and care, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas someone like, I don't know, maybe Kanye West is a bad example at this point in time, at this current juncture. But, you know, just any artist, particularly, you know, a lot of these Black American artists that become rappers, as much as they might be embroiled in a life of gangs and money and everything, you have to realize a lot of the time when you grow up from that and then you come out of it and you're something big, there's a target on your back and you kind of need to protect yourself and everything. So I don't blame them in a lot of circumstances. But, you know, those kinds of people who come up from absolute mud to become what they are, you know what I'm saying? They, at least at the beginning when they were hungry for it, they put everything they had into the game.
Yeah.
They put everything they had into being the musicians they are, being the businessmen that they are. You know, your Jay-Z's, for instance, that's like the epitome of what I think a Black rapper should be. You have your career, you come out of the dirt, you rap about it, and you reflect on it with the sort of sense that you're learning to not be that, to not be the product of your environment, but knowing that this is how it's influenced, telling people this is what goes on in New York, in Brooklyn or the Bronx, I'm not sure where you grew up, and then going to insane heights. Beyonce's your wife now, dude, like, you lost having a billion, Beyonce's your wife, you know, like, you are literally the epitome of absolute, like, you're the best that's really, in a lot of people's eyes, you're the best that's come out of, you know, modern Black celebrity, if that makes sense. You know, you're not Mansa Musa, but at the same time, you're at the pinnacle of excellence in a lot of people's eyes, because you've come out of that, you weren't a product of that, you've been better, you've decided to taper wisdom into everything you say, and, you know, you've gotten your money and everything, you're a successful business owner. There's nothing more to do, you know, like, everything else now is just side missions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The main quest is done. And everyone can look at you and be like, I want to be like Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a good thing.
I think I agree. And I agree for, like, various reasons. One simply being the fact that a lot of these people and a lot of their greatness is testament to the work that they put in, but it's also testament to their story. I think my question then becomes, why don't we apply the same logic to academics? Because I even feel like academics, the struggle is shared almost, is that we kind of all walk the same path, in air quotations, because it's not necessarily that we all do.
Yeah.
But we come across our different struggles, our various means, and there's people who succeed at the highest level, mostly being your people who get their doctorates, if that's what you believe a degree is proof of your academia, which I don't necessarily think it is. People go on to become presidents of countries. They become influential people and influence not even like the day-to-day life of themselves and their surrounding community, sometimes even a whole country or the entire world. Why then is it that we look at academics as something that's bestowed negatively or not as admirable? Or is it a thing that we've seen celebrities choosing, or the route which celebrities take being the alternative to academics, and academics as fault has resulted in being seen in a negative light, not engaged with positively, and people trying to avoid it or trying to find ways to essentially get around it?
Well, okay, what you said, I mean, that's basically it. It goes back to the whole thing of like rat race economics, and you know, academics is the prime engine of those said economics. It's the route that you have to, that you basically take if you're a part of that. And like you said, the life of celebrity is the alternative. It's the only way to quote unquote escape. Although you're still, it's just a different form of the rat race depending on how you look at things. But more than anything, I think the main thing. The main thing that people run into when we look at the difference between an accomplished academic like your Jordan Petersons, for instance, who sort of also come into this life of celebrity due to his status, due to his ability to oppose the status quo.
Yeah.
When you look at someone like, let's just say Justin Bieber, right? The differences between them is as much as they struggled or, you know, had to sort of fight to get their way to the top. You look at Justin Bieber and I'm a believer, right?
Yeah.
I'm a believer that, like, that's, Justin is my dog. Like, let's look at his career trajectory real quick. 13, 14 years old, he's singing from a balcony in somewhere in his hometown, right? People are taking videos of him. He goes viral. Scooter Braun, one of the biggest managers like in the music industry, period, discovers this guy. Usher also looks at him. He's like, this guy is some solid business. You know, long story short, blows up, drops My World and My World 2.0. You know, that's got Baby. That's got hits on hits on hits. Bro, go listen to that album. It's straight heat, like through and through. And then he keeps on going up, but he's also this innocent pretty boy kind of character, and then he breaks into this bad boy lifestyle. That's when he starts dropping Confidence and You're All That Matters to Me and everything. He starts doing collabs with Travis Scott and Future out of nowhere. Maria, I'm Drunk, I mean, that's a generational hit. Like, you can't really top that. And when you get things like that, when you, like, now he's breaking out into a new niche within his own space, and subsequently also ascending through the echelons of music in a lot of regards to his own skill and his own image. Like, now he's being taken more seriously as an artist because of those things. And then he keeps on going, and then he has a redemption arc where he essentially comes out with the Purpose album. He apologizes for his misdeeds. He wants to look for something new. He apologizes to the people he's hurt, and he asks for forgiveness. That's his arc, you know. He's a new man. Boom, still going platinum. That kind of arc where you can change within a certain space and still be a musician, everyone is going to be following your story. Whereas Jordan Peterson came out of nowhere because he was talking at a university to, I think, gender studies students, and basically saying, like, look, if you're a man, you're a man, you're a woman. That whole argument, I'm not going to speak on it, I'm not going to say nothing, because that's not the topic of discussion, and I prefer to, stay in good sights with people. You know what I'm saying? But it's also a thing of, he comes out of nowhere. He's a middle-aged professor, you know, very accomplished. Don't get me wrong, but his story is not anywhere near as engaging because it doesn't come with all the turmoil. It doesn't come with all the drama. Yeah. It doesn't come with all the I mean, you don't, it's not like people, we're not in Greece. You don't read someone's book and be like, oof, this guy just dropped some heat, you know.
Yeah.
You're not looking at the way you'd look at Justin Bieber's story and then also have the hits to jam to, you know. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You have something 3 to 5 minutes long that's digestible, that's made with love, made with effort and everything, and you can hear his experiences in his story, and that can become your own. Whereas a book, he's extrapolated experiences, he's, like I said earlier, he's tempered everything, his studies, and he's given you a rubric, 12 rules for life, that you can live by. But that also takes effort and discipline and da 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 da. And that's the whole thing of academics. It takes that effort and discipline more than anything to sit through something and just constantly work at it. Whereas the life of a celebrity, there's a lot of in-between time once you've made it to that space, you know. And I think that's what, when you're looking at a goal, you're looking to get to the goal. So whether you're in the academic space or a celebrity space, you know that you're gonna have to work hard at the beginning. But then on one side, once you're a celebrity, you get the breaks that you're afforded, and then you get to do what you love, and you get another break, and then you get to do it again, etc., etc. Whereas you're Jordan Peterson, you kind of, the guy still has to work his ass off, you know what I'm saying? Because he's a psychologist, like he's a clinical psychologist, like he's a doctor, he's always looking at studies, he's always in the face of some trauma, and as much as he's inspiring people, you know, like the guy has to work and read and, you know, maintain his status as a PhD certified man, you know what I'm saying? So I think that those are the sort of differences that you look at when you look at a celebrity and you look at a micro celebrity who's taken the academic route, if that makes sense.
I think true. I think the only thing that I'd say there is, like, I always feel like with academics, it can't be taken away from you. And with fame, it can. Like, a degree is always going to be a degree. Unless you do something, like, extremely stupid to the point where they can obviously rescind it from you. But now you've got this weird world, which is where we kind of all are at the moment, where we've got academics becoming celebrities. Some for the right reasons, some for the wrong reasons. You personally can make that debate for yourself. You mentioned a Jordan Peterson. Obviously, there's also been Ben Shapiro. And then you get...
What do you think of Ben, just real quick?
My own personal thoughts. I haven't seen enough of him to give a full comment. I think my honest opinion on academics who become celebrities or become social influencers is that they have to be sensational to stay relevant, which means that they don't necessarily always do what's in the best interest of people at that time in that moment. That's my comment. I don't know about Ben specifically. From the videos that I've seen, I personally just think at times it looks like he outsmarts people and he bullies people with his knowledge. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing or that's a good thing, but it's just like an observation of him. But going back to what I was saying is, academics becoming celebrities, government officials becoming celebrities, it's changing the world of politics, changing the world of academia. It's changing how we live to our day to day. Is this celebrity more important than being academic or being presidential? Because as it stands now, our world, like I said earlier, is seeking influence. And is fame the only way to be an influencer in this day and age?
In order to have influence, you kind of have to be of some notoriety or have some fame. True. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's, if we go back to like your Jordan Petersons, your Ben Shapiros, these academics, the reason that they are so big is not because people are like necessarily admiring purely the work that they've done, but they're speaking to a part of everyone that's been dormant and silent. Ben Shapiro specifically, I'm not the biggest fan of him. I don't like how he sort of bullies people with his knowledge, because knowledge is for the sake of enlightenment. And I think it sort of comes off as very pompous, the way he does things. But facts are facts, you know. There's nothing more stubborn than the facts. And I think the reason why he's blown up so much is because he talks to a part of us. When people look at certain political beliefs, which I again will not go through, he speaks to the part of us that is afraid of getting cancelled or afraid of being lectured and, you know, being stripped of our own pride and whatever and our own beliefs, it represents rebellion in a lot of people. It represents being yourself for once. And even with Andrew Tate, as much as it's very aggressive the way, you know, your Ben Shapiro's, your Andrew Tate's present their information and everything, it's the pure gumption that they have to do that in the face of the kind of society we live in, and then, you know, still come out unscathed,
yeah,
and better than yesterday. You know, that's what people are looking at and be like, dang, you know. So when I think it's important to, whatever you do, aim to not just be the best, the number one, because then you're competing with other people. Aim to be the best version of yourself within that space. Whether you are a clinical psychologist, whether you have an orange Bugatti, whether you're a Jewish Republican, I mean, you know, excel, be better than who you were yesterday. Because whether you're a celebrity or not, your work is still going to influence someone. So just because you're not a celebrity doesn't mean you take the work you're doing for granted. I mean, the whole thing of now academics and politicians, just anyone doing something sensational, becoming a celebrity, it's crazy to me. You know, they become the entire personalities outside of, you know, more than just what we see in real life. You know, like, you can go on YouTube every now and then, when you scroll, you'll see like AI voiceovers of like Donald Trump, Barack Obama, yeah, and Joe Biden playing Mario Kart or something, and it's like, you know, they take the sensational parts of them and now they become their own personalities and characters. Their own caricatures become the more true representations of these people, because through these caricatures you can speak truth to their personalities and the kind of things that they've done, you know, in the real world. And it's sort of interesting to see that, because that's kind of what happens to everyone on social media. No matter how famous you get, you know, the most sensational parts of you, or the most visible parts of you, your weaknesses, your strengths, become your personality. They become how you are viewed. They become what you are, essentially. And that's what people will use to either break you down or give you praise. And that's what you are in people's eyes, you know. Doesn't matter what kind of things you believe about Obama or whatever. End of the day, one of the things that people are going to say the most about him is that he dropped missiles all over the Middle East.
True.
You know, doesn't matter what you believe about Donald Trump, people are always going to talk about the wall and him getting impeached.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, they're going to talk about him falling down the stairs and falling asleep, or dementia, something, ice cream, whatever it is, you know, like, it's just that kind of thing. And I really don't know what to think of it, because it's almost random how some people become celebrities. Even Andrew Tate, there's so many other people that talk like him, I'm sure of it, that do what he does. Maybe not with as much money or with the same kind of accolades and accomplishments, but I mean, it's almost miraculous how this stuff just comes out of nowhere. And I'm sure in 6 months' time we'll be following another, you know, grand, sensational, outspoken person rivaling Andrew Tate or rivaling someone else. You know, it just depends. I mean, it's the sensationality of things, if that's a word.
Yeah.
You know, Ashraf Hakimi right now, he's going crazy all over social media, man. I mean, crazy all over social media, you know. It's that kind of thing, because of the sensational aspect of what you've just done, because there's also a gender war happening between people, and what you've done represents a righteous stand against everything that we've believed in for the past millennia, everything that we've been taught to believe in. It's a striking back for what a lot of people might view as unfairness placed on men within marriages or the judicial system, whatever it might be. And, you know, it's sensational to see. And it's a sensational thing happening because it's a celebrity. You know, it's one of those things. How his own personal business is floating all over the world like this is beyond me. But it's happening, you know, and it could happen to any one of us, you know. It's just, I really don't even know what to think about it. Like I said earlier, it's just a thing of tempering yourself, and I guess being mindful of what you do.
I think, yeah, and I think it goes to the thing of, a lot of what we celebrate is people overcoming what they wouldn't normally overcome in real life. So like when you mention Hakimi, not many people would think that a man would be able to walk away with 100% of all his stuff, right?
Plus 50% of his partner's stuff.
Exactly. And I think a similar thing also exists with Ben Shapiro, Andrew Tate, the Tracy Morgans of the world, because they all are sensational. I mean, I thought The Matrix was coming after me. As stupid as that sounds, and it sounds like I'm quoting Andrew Tate, please know, is the first video was Tracy Morgan, the second video was Ben Shapiro, the third video was Andrew Tate. I said, no. This social media thing, I'm going to switch it off. Let me take a break. And in part is like what you said, we've gotten to a point where we idolize people for overcoming or doing things that we can't do or don't have enough confidence to do. But at the same time, I feel like it's because it's not common. And maybe that might be the issue with academics, that it's so common, success is seen so often, that we almost don't make it of notoriety.
Or perhaps it's that in a lot of spaces, I mean, I know a few influencers. There's a guy called Paul Saladino. He's his main thing is advocating against veganism and promoting animal-based eating, which a lot of people have also started doing lately, because it's a thing of nutritional science has not taught us to look at perhaps diet and lifestyle as the issue. They'll say, okay, you have an issue within your lifestyle, we're gonna give you a pill. Instead of changing the lifestyle, instead of looking at the food you're eating and everything, you know, there's a lot of corporate stuff that's being put into promoting vegan. Like, it's a whole debacle. I mean, look, pick whatever size you want, do whatever is working for you. But, you know, the reason why these guys sort of blow up is because they go against the narrative. And even when now we ourselves are, like, being thrown with this vegan stuff, and, you know, a lot of us might even buy into it, someone else is coming out and being like, you can actually eat meat. It's pretty good for you, dog.
Yeah.
Like, you might wanna jump back to this side. And it's just one of those things that's, you know, again, I think it all falls down to people defying odds, defying the narrative, defying even ourselves as the viewers, defying what we believe can be done, should be done, will be done, all that. You know. Sorry, carry on.
And I think what I wanted to say was, how many people are trying to become celebrities by being the opposition to what is popular?
Just being dramatic and sensational or against the grain for no, like, that kind of stuff? Is that what you mean?
I think, yeah. Because, like, as much as we're not allowed to speak about Kanye anymore because he has been banished from the public media.
He's been ousted.
A lot of what Kanye did and how Kanye... I don't want to say how Kanye was perceived, because I think people perceived him differently. But a lot of what he did was against the grain, was very honest. Because I think there's some people who say they might agree with certain aspects of what he said until he did crazy things. And then he went left and we were all like, no.
Yeah, and for anyone listening, you can define what the craziness is or what you agree and disagree with. We're not saying anything.
Yeah. But Kanye, Andrew Tate, Ben Shapiro, a lot of them have sound reasoning in what should be nonsensical. And how many of us are buying into that because we've lost hope or we've lost our own voice? Because I think that also speaks to a lot of what we've been saying today, the fact that people don't read, people don't take the time to consume their own knowledge. People don't take the time to digest anything anymore. Like, everyone thinks that as soon as you hear something, you need to do something about it. Like, we've become almost a society that's solely based on...
I think it's a thing of we're too reactive and impulsive as opposed to being proactive about
things.
Exactly.
We're solely based on likes, clicks, popularity, and trends. And the question is that how much of that is going to continue to exist, are going to continue to polarize the world that we live in, and how much of that is actually taking away from the academic conversations that we should be having? Because I think there's a lot of people who are geniuses within their own right, and it's true that you don't have to go to school to be an academic, to be a genius. You can gain knowledge and have the most knowledge on a specific topic simply by learning about it without having ever stepped into a classroom, ever stepped into a university. So how much of this, the celebrity, the influence, everything that's taking over our youth, but also just taking over society as a whole, is stripping us away from the real conversation and from the ability to actually have sound arguments?
You know, it's, these things are self-sustaining. Like I said, we are the product. We the ones that ultimately decide whether this shit carries on or not. You know what I'm saying? I know you are a very disciplined man. Whenever you set your mind to something, you do that shit like to the fullest, you know. And you know, I've personally seen with things that have happened at school, with certain events which I will not speak about now, that I think were possibly rigged based on the thing that we're talking about, the whole idea of celebrity and fame and popularity.
Yeah.
Where other people, you know, could have really benefited more from being given certain access to tools and positions. And I see that and I'm like, you know, as much as you are this person, I know every now and then you get on your phone and you spend like an hour just scrolling on TikTok.
Oh, for sure.
Everyone falls into it.
Oh, for sure.
You know, some people, however, don't fall out of it. Some people look at something. You know, I there's times where I look at a reel and I'm like, whoa, that's provocative what he just said. I might not even finish the reel. I might pause it and I might just sit and think, like, whoa, and form like a whole entire two-way argument in my head so that I can understand exactly what I'm listening to. And then I'll carry on watching the video. And then it'll say something else. I'll be like, whoa, wait, hold on. You know, and then I'll think about it and be like, that is something to think about. I will keep that thought in mind and digest it over time because it's a relevant topic. Yeah. Apparently, it's on my phone. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's the whole, no one's gonna do it, but I'm still gonna say it. Be careful with social media, dude. Like, it's if you really want it to be, your YouTube and everything, like, these things are actually tools. You can really game the algorithm in your advantage. You know what I'm saying? Because what you digest on a daily basis will become you. You know what I'm saying? If you're always digesting media about these street interviews, where people go out and ask, depending on the kind of demographic or beliefs that you hold about certain things. I mean, for the most part, the good thing, you'll be digesting a variety of different views.
Yeah.
But as we've seen on social media, a lot of these things come from a one-sided dynamic of guys interviewing Hans, and then the narrative, she's for the streets, done. Which, don't get me wrong, some of them, hey man, hey bro, some of them belong to the goddess. Some of the things they've said, hey. But also, it's like a thing of, they just keep purporting this one-sided way of thinking. There's a guy I like watching, I think his name is Genko, something like that. He's an Asian guy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he does the street interviews, but he asks the provocative questions, kindly, nicely, gets all these different views, and then, you know, shifts away to like him in his room, like solo, and then he discusses what we've just said, then he moves on to the next topic of discussion nicely. I like that kind of stuff, you know. I think there's a very good way to always expose yourself to a lot of different views, and it's not wrong to entertain yourself, you know, every now and then. But I think people get trapped too much in the whole entertainment part of things, and then that influences their beliefs and who they become as people. You know, Andrew Tate, yeah, bro, sometimes the guy makes me laugh, you know? Like, sometimes he does say some funny things, and I'm like, yeah. But also, I'm like, I watch, and I'm like, okay, what he said here, I only agree with, like, 43% of it, exactly. Because after this exact syllable, I think he went off the rails. You know what I'm saying? You always have to know, it's not just a thing of, oh, I agree with this, I'm going to watch it, I disagree with this, I'm going to watch it. Watch the whole thing, so that you know what you're agreeing and disagreeing with. And, you know, there's a reason why we call it digesting knowledge, because it's like food. I can order McDonald's now and eat it, or I can order steers. You know what I'm saying? I can choose what I'm going to eat. You know what I'm saying? So choose wisely, you know, because it's all fuel, and some of it is just junk food.
Yeah.
Some of it is going to help you grow a lot more. Some of it is going to make you stronger. Some of it is going to change the way you look at things. All of it can be beneficial, but not all of it will be beneficial. You know what I'm saying? But just depends on how you choose to perceive the information, receive the information, digest the information, and ingest the information, if that makes sense.
I was going to end it there, but I have one last question. My question becomes, do we bring academics to the forefront and intertwine it with what we now believe is social media? Or do we put more focus on academics and remove ourselves from social media?
Put more focus on yourself. More focus on people. Because it doesn't matter whether we put academics or celebrity in front, or academics without the celebrity, or without the social media, or social media without the... It doesn't matter. People. The reason social media is like this is because it's a problem with people. As much as I appreciate and love having the perspectives that I get from, you know, a click of a button on my phone, I hate a lot of the stuff that I see, because it reminds me that so much of this world is like evil and just, you know, degenerate, and there's people who are suffering, there's people who don't know any better, there's people who simply just want to take advantage of you, there's people who, it's sickening, man. It's really sickening sometimes. But it's also a thing of understanding that it's because there's a problem with people, a problem with society. And as people who make up the society, it's high time you become aware that perhaps we're not necessarily the ones in control. I don't want to sound like Andrew Tate or anything, but, you know, for anyone who has watched The Matrix and understands the symbolism that the Wachowski brothers, who are now the Wachowski sisters, put into that, you will understand that, wow, it's a lot of... Yeah, I see you looking at me. Yeah, they transitioned to that.
Oh, okay.
It's also, I was also like, huh, this happened. But anyone who's seen The Matrix and understands the symbolism behind everything, you must realize that what we are living in is, we can define it as a matrix or a nexus, a set of ideas and common beliefs shared amongst a large variety of people that influence our daily lives and set us in motion on a path that is most of the time predetermined. So it's all about taking things into our own control and understanding that not everything is as it seems. Not everything is as it looks. The glitz and the glamour of a celebrity doesn't nullify the suffering that they might have on the inside. Robin Williams, one of the most revered comedians of his time, or of all time, loved by everyone. You wouldn't think that, I mean, if you looked at how this guy behaved, like whether it was an interview or in a movie, like he was loved by everyone. He was just a funny guy, he was always happy. Boom, I think 2007, commit suicide. That's like, it's those things, you know, you wouldn't see it coming, but you don't know the kind of lives people live behind the big screen, if that makes sense. Behind status, behind the clothing, behind the models, the yachts, the cars. We have to really be careful of also how we look at academics, because I think a lot of people do fall into the trap of, you know, academics is the way out, it's the only way.
Yeah.
There's a creative part of yourself, and there's a part of yourself that needs to be disciplined, that needs to be tapered and tempered, otherwise you're going to lose control of things. It's the whole thing of, you know, masculine and feminine balance. You can view the masculine as a glass and the feminine as the water within. Without the glass, the feminine energy, which is your creativity, your wants to connect with people, to be emotional, the part of you that's free-spirited and wants to experiment and da-da-da-da-da. If you just let that flow out, there's no control, there's no nothing. But if you just have an empty glass, which is that masculine, then there's no creativity. You're just a husk. You're invisible. You're a skeleton. There's nothing unique about you. But having the glass with the water allows you something to hold everything that's within you with a structure and a balance, which you can see as discipline or whatever routine we put into our lives or our beliefs or whatever. And having the ability to taper and channel our creativity and who we are as people, as opposed to letting everything happen to us. We can decide to let things or make things happen, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to being reactive, we can be proactive. I think it's high time that we realize that, you know, the reason why we're not necessarily in control of all our actions is because we are being controlled. Not necessarily like, you know, puppets on a string. You know, I don't want you guys, I don't want people to look at me and be like, ah, this guy is fear-mongering. Oh, what do you mean? But you must understand that if you can't get off your phone for more than two hours a day, or like you keep craving going on your phone, or you keep on wanting to indulge in orange YouTube or something, you know, like it's a thing of understanding there's an issue.
You're so late, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a thing, and it happens, bro, especially a lot of teenage guys. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a thing that can take hold of you. I mean, you kind of have to just really be aware of what you are actually controlling and what you're letting your urges decide for you. You know, when you see a fresh male or female of the human species in front of you, and they decide to make a move, and my good friend, my brother Grayton, was telling me the other day, like, you have to decide, what do you want to do this for? How is this really going to benefit you? Is this really going to do anything for you? Especially as a gent, bro, because you can run into a lot of problems. I ran into problems. It's not fun at all, bro, because the world, you just have to be careful. And it's sad that we can't fully be ourselves, but you have to be careful, bro. But back to the topic, it's, you know, there's we can think of it as a ruling party per se. There's people who own the social media. BlackRock, bro, those guys own 70% of assets worldwide. News channels, bro. Like, these guys really run things. Like, for anyone who's really curious, look up BlackRock. That's all you need to know. Like, BlackRock, that's really the king. Like, that's Bowser, you know, in the Mushroom Kingdom, if that makes sense. Like, that's where this thing goes. Trace the money, it goes back to a source, you know. You look at your Shells, your Texacos, and how they go in and destabilize nations, take away people's right to access to water or to safe, clean drinking water, you know, even Nestle. Like, it's there's people who really control the outcome of things towards their own benefit. And we kind of have to realize that our enemy is not the person next to us. It's the person above us. Yeah.
I think two key takeaways there. One, it's about humanity. It's about who we are, how we connect, how we feel, how we engage one another. But secondly, that we are in control until we give that control away.
True, sir.
And I think we should always remember that, always be conscious of that, and always think about that whenever we give our time, our energy, our admiration to an idea, to people, to things which could harm us, which could break us, and harm our own humanity. But as always, this has been Misunderstood.